God is holy and He expects you to be holy, you and me. And if we're not, then I can assure you, He's not only not going to use you, but He's going to judge you. And you ain't going to like the spanking you're going to get. I guarantee. I guarantee you won't like it. Such people claim they know God. You know, I see people all the time. In fact, I was in a city somewhere here a while back, and I was walking along with some beggar. You know, he was there on the street corner begging for money. I walked up to him. I said, "Sir, you know Jesus?" "Yeah, yeah." I said, "You go to church?" He said, "Yeah, yeah." I said, "You're lying." I said, "I ain't never seen nobody that really knows Jesus as standing on a street corner begging. Because the Word of God says, my true children shall never beg bread." I said, "You're lying to me because you want something." I said, "But I'm going to give you $5 so you can go get something to eat. And then it's going to be between you and God." I said, "Then this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to hand you this $5. And if you go spend it on food, may it bless your stomach. If you spend it on anything beside food, may it curse you and make you sick." He said, "Man, nobody's ever done this to me." I said, "You better make sure you spend what I give you for food to take care of your physical body. Because," I said, "if you spend it for anything else," I said, "you're going to come down with cramps and sickness and pain, and you ain't going to know where it come from. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to speak a curse over you if you're lying to me." Do you know you can do that to a person? Most people never even, "Why, I didn't know I could speak a curse over somebody." Well, you better not do it until you learn what you're doing. Oh, I know. But the reason they don't know the word either, Joseph, that's the whole secret. That's the whole problem. That's just like all these churches that are going to get involved with Islam. They cannot be teaching God's word. There's something rotten wrong. I mean, well, that's just like, I don't see how these churches that teach about homosexuals, I mean, that teach that homosexuality is okay. When God says, Sodom and Gomorrah, He said, "This sin has reached heaven and I'm going down there to crush it." And He did. He went down there and He burned the rocks in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, but I guess God likes sodomy. I guess He likes it. Oh, okay. You know, I mean, He must be okay with it because He only burned up everything, huh? Well, I'm going to tell you what, I ain't going to take no part in none of that junk, I'll tell you for sure. And I'm not ever going to teach it's right, it's wrong, it's rotten, it's a sin against God. And so, anyway, like I told y'all, you know, and I've told this, you know, I had a nephew that was only 36 years old, and he was a homosexual. And I had told him that you have to straighten your life up. And he didn't listen to me. Well, 36-year-old, and he had a massive heart attack just a few weeks ago. We went down to Brownwood and buried him just 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he was a homosexual. And, of course, all those homosexual friends were there, you know, as these pallbearers and everything else. And I just thought to myself, every one of them boys headed for the same place he's headed for, and they don't know because nobody would tell them the truth. But I told him, but he didn't listen. He didn't listen. So he died at 36. And, according to the Word of God, he's in hell today. That's sad. That's sad. But you know, that's almost as bad. I have a Church of Christ family on my mother's side. And I don't know how they got involved with Church of Christ, but they did. They're all good Church of Christ. I mean, they go to church. Boy, they believe in Jesus and everything. I mean, they love Jesus. No two ways about it. Now, I've only known them all my life. You know, I've been raised up with them, played with them when they were kids. Everything. So I've known them all my life. Well, one of my cousins down in Tyler died here a while back, and Dave and I flew down there to his funeral. Now, he was a Baptist, but boy, you talk about a great man of God. That man was a man of God. He loved God. He was always, you know, doing things for people. He was a Sunday school teacher and a deacon and all kinds of stuff, you know. He loved God. So when he died, we went to his funeral. Well, the Church of Christ family from Abilene, they come down to his funeral too. Well, I hadn't seen them in a couple of years. And so they said, "Oh, Thurman, how's things going?" I said, "Oh, praise God, Jesus doing great and wonderful things." They've always known I've been on fire for Jesus, you know. But anyway, we was talking about how wonderful things are and some of the wonderful things are going on. I said, "Jesus is just sending me around the country and I'm preaching the word and getting people healed and everything." And you're getting people healed? And I said, "Oh, yeah, by the way," I said, "this is Dave Rosenfeld." I said, "you know, he had an incurable disease for 40 years and I met him and I prayed for him and he got healed." And when I walked off, that's when my cousin looked at Dave and said, "Is he telling us the truth?" They said, "Yeah, he's telling you the truth. I had an incurable disease and he told me how to get healed. And I got healed." Your own family don't believe the power of God's word, even when they're in a church that's teaching part of the word. Now, the Baptist and the Catholic and the Methodist and Church of Christ, they all teach a part of God's word. But there's a whole lot they leave out. You can't tell me no different because I was in one of them for a long, long time. I was in the Baptist church a long time. And I know what they teach. And like this one lady up in Des Moines, she told me, she said, "I went to the Baptist church and I heard a salvation message every Sunday, but that's all I learned is how to get saved." And she said, I knew there had to be something else. And she said, "one day somebody gave me one of your CDs." And she said, "boy, this is what she said. She said, I've been a Thurmanite ever since." She said, "I listen to your teachings all the time." I thought, wow, praise the Lord. Okay, now let's go to 2 Timothy 2:8-26. 2 Timothy 2:8-26. Isn't it amazing how God tells us to keep ourselves pure and holy and clean? And most people don't even know that's in the scripture. You know, it's just amazing. So we just go do whatever we want to do. You know, it's no big deal. You know, I've been to this church down here for 20 years, and they said, "once saved, always saved. I can get saved, and I can do anything I want to do." We ever heard that, Sharon? Oh, my goodness. We hear that. That's amazing, especially in the Baptist church. I mean, there's other churches teach that, too, but I don't know anybody that teaches that any stronger than the Baptist church does. Once saved, always saved. You know, wow. I can guarantee once saved, always saved. If you really get saved and then you stay with him, you're okay. You know, but don't get out here in left field and start living in sin. Because if you do, he will kick you out. Verse 8. "Never forget that Jesus Christ was a man born in the King David's family and that he was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach." When you take the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection out of religion, you ain't got nothing but religion. You ain't got nothing. And that's what so many churches are trying to do now. This Chrislam, this is what they're trying to do. I mean, Jesus is not the Son of God. I just can't believe we're coming to this in America. You know, but it's coming. It's here. It's going to be initiated in the churches next Sunday, the 26th. Verse 9 and 10. We're going to go through all 26 verses here. "And because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal, but the word of God cannot be chained." Obviously, Paul had a problem that we're going to have. If we preach the truth of the word of God, I'm telling you what, we stand an opportunity to get locked up. In fact, Tim told me a story about I think he said the boy was 31. Tim just got back from Haiti. And he said one of the young men he met down there, a fine young man, 31 years old. I think he's married and got, I think he said two little children. And he has dedicated his life to orphanages and running orphanages in Haiti. Well, now that takes a real man to do something like that. You know, I'm glad God hadn't called me to do that. And Tim said he's sure glad God hadn't called him to do something like that too. But this young man, something happened here a while back down there, and they picked him up and put him in jail. It was not, he didn't do it at all. Wasn't he probably, he was not guilty, but they kept him in jail for like 5 months. And he said one time that somebody in the jail decided to make a jailbreak. And they tried to get out. And of course, they subdued them all. Well, I think there was 50 or 60 men in the jail, and only four or five of them tried to get out. So they took every man in the jail, stripped them stone naked, and put them on their face and laid them on the floor, and they had to lay there all stretched out, and they went by for 8 hours and beat them with rods and kicked them in the sides to let them know, if you ever try this again, this is just a little touch of what you're going to get. And he had to suffer that same thing. It took 5 months for him to get out of jail. When he finally got out of jail, he went right back to his wife and children and trying to raise those orphan kids in Haiti. I said, that's dedication. Y'all know that? You know, have you ever suffered like that for being a Christian? You don't want to either, do you? But you know you might have to. You know, they locked Paul up. Just look what he says here. He says, I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. He's willing to suffer. What? Can you make that statement? Oh, Lord. Am I willing to endure anything? Well, let me tell you what. I got a feeling about 98% of the church couldn't pass that test. I think it's that high. I mean, after what I see is going on with these other churches, you was to try to get one of them to suffer for Jesus, they wouldn't even come to church no more. They'd forget he was God. They've already forgot he's God. So they'd just walk off. So we're living in perilous times. I mean, perilous times. I can't believe what I'm seeing. Verse 11 and 12. This is a true saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship with him, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. You know, I think just these little mission trips that Tim's made to Haiti. In fact, I got real tickled. When I went over to see him yesterday afternoon when we got back, he just got back Saturday night about 10:30, Friday night about 10:30 himself. He was out mowing the yard yesterday afternoon about 4 or 5 o'clock whenever we got in. I guess it's 5 o'clock when we got in. And so I went over there to just say hi, and of course he wanted to unload on me, you know, so I just sat down in the chair there in that 107 degree heat and listened to him talk. And so, you know, he was telling me, he said, you know, one of the classes they went to that there was going to teach, he said,
we are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, God's Instrument of Gold, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.